Colleges across the country have closed hundreds of foreign language programs in recent years. Wisconsin higher ed not immune to this trend, and we're talking about it on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The MLA, the Modern Language Association, released some new figures last month, and a full report is coming out on the net loss of language programs. What do you think is behind the declining number of foreign language classes? Do you study a foreign language in high school, perhaps college? And if so, did that knowledge help you in your career? College students, let's hear from you. Are you majoring in a foreign language? Why did you pick that major? We're at 800-642-1234. You can go ahead and email your thoughts to ideas@wpr.org. Kathleen Stein-Smith is an associate university librarian at Fairleigh Dickinson University. She's taught foreign languages at the high school and college level and has written several books and numerous articles on the U.S. foreign language deficit. Her recent piece for the website The Conversation is titled "Foreign Language Classes Becoming More Scarce." Kathleen, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning, Kate. Thank you so much for giving me this opportunity to talk with you this morning about this important question of foreign language learning in our country.
So the MLA comes out with these numbers late last month that between 2013 and 2016, colleges across the country closed more than 650 foreign language programs. What is your reaction when you hear those numbers?
You know, as a foreign language educator and advocate, I am obviously sad to hear that. One thing, though, that we do need to keep in mind is that the headline read 651 programs. But for the purposes of the survey, programs, it really has to be translated as course offerings in a given semester. It's not necessarily always an entire department. It can be, of course.
I see. So it's basically the offerings, and perhaps it's not the entire major.
You know, in some cases, yes. So, and we will know more when the entire report is released.
What explains this? Why are colleges and universities dropping these programs, dropping these offerings?
You know, reasons that have been given include the fact that these are still lingering effects of the Great Recession. Some people have said that students may not be aware of all the advantages of foreign languages, career advantages particularly. However, I think also there is a question of opportunity. Not a lot of students in the United States study foreign languages in the elementary, middle, and high schools. Really just under 20%, according to the most recent statistics. And if only 20% of our children have the opportunity and are studying foreign languages at the age when it's really best to be a language learner, then that pool, that potential pool of learners at the college level is smaller than it might be. And those numbers have really dropped at the elementary and middle school level over the past 20 years.
Do you find that college students would say, well, I would have had to start working on this major many, many years ago. I can't major in this in college. I don't have the background in the language.
You know, that is true, but it's not necessarily entirely true. If we offer languages and give the opportunity for students to learn from the very earliest grade levels, as they do in Europe and in other parts of the world, you would have students arriving at college age or arriving at college and university with proficiency, even fluency. And, of course, then it's much easier to major in a language. It's easier to think about it.
We're talking about the decline of foreign language instruction, the closure of programs, courses with Kathy Stein-Smith. She's an associate university librarian at Fairleigh Dickinson University, written extensively about America's foreign language deficit. Join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think is behind the declining number of foreign language classes? And what do you think it would take to reverse this trend? call in or email ideas at WPR.org. Kathy, isn't this more of like a supply-demand thing? I mean, if colleges aren't filling seats in these courses, in these programs, how can they afford to offer them?
You know, that is a very good question. You know, colleges, like the rest of our society, were impacted by the economic recession. I think, however, there's a deeper problem. You know, the historian Peter Stearns, he wrote that American reluctance to learn other languages is legendary. And that's a quote. That's the word that he used. And I think what it is, people may not realize the benefits of languages. You know, for example, in addition to the ability to speak and to communicate with others, which is the obvious advantage of foreign language learning and foreign language learning from an early age, it can result in higher test scores. It can result in better reasoning skills. It can result in a divergent thinking, or creativity, basically. And parents and communities, actually, I think I'm starting to see the beginning of a turnaround. Parents and communities are across the country and in Canada are really advocating strenuously for foreign language programs, specifically for immersion programs. And that's where really children from the very earliest grades have an opportunity not only to learn another language, but to also learn about the culture. And in dual language immersion programs, they have the opportunity to actually develop intercultural skills interacting with other children who may speak the other language as a native speaker and may come from the culture of that target language. So I think you're seeing the turnaround coming really with the very young learners. And it's really being driven, of course, by foreign language educators. We're all language advocates. Now, I serve as chair of the AATF Commission on Advocacy, and we all are at all levels. But it really, I think the driving force in this particular movement really has been families, has been communities, has been parents. They, for a variety of reasons, including all of the benefits of foreign language knowledge, they have been advocating, lobbying. It's hard to go online and read the news.
And Kathy, I want to pause right here because we have a great question to bring in. Kurt is joining us from Milwaukee with thoughts on this. Kurt, go ahead.
Yes, good morning. I know many students, including my own children, across the state of Wisconsin, as I'm sure thousands and thousands, who have taken 4 years of high school foreign language, and they pass with flying colors, but they cannot speak a lick of it, and it seems to be a very large waste in many, many instances.
So what Kurt's saying there is the outcome isn't there. There isn't the fluency, and it seems like they're just doing it for the prerequisite or the requirement. Kathy?
Well, you know, that is a great question, and thank you, Kurt, for your interest in foreign language learning. You know, the fact that you described the experience your own children had and the fact that they did study a foreign language but did not develop fluency is a real challenge that foreign language education has faced.
And let's pause right there. We're talking about the steep decline in foreign language instruction in the U.S. with Kathy Stein-Smith as our guide. She's an associate university librarian at Fairleigh Dickinson University in New Jersey. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Are you fluent in another language? Tell us about it. Tweet us, WPR Mornings. We'll get back to the conversation in a minute on the Ideas Network. We're talking about the foreign language deficit on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. New data out from the MLA, the Modern Language Association, finds that Spanish had a net loss of 118 program closures over a three-year period. French lost 129, German 86. And close to home, UW-Stevens Point announced plans almost a year ago to eliminate 13 humanities majors to chip away at its deficit. And last November, that plan was whittled down to 6 low-performing majors, but French and German were not spared. What do you think is behind the declining number of foreign language classes, and what do you think it would take to reverse this trend? We're at 800-642-1234. Tweet us at WPR Mornings. Fairleigh Dickinson University Associate Librarian Kathy Stein-Smith stays with us. She's been writing about the decline of foreign language instruction. Let's go to Glenn now, joining us from Minocqua. Hi, Glenn.
Yes, hello. I don't have an answer for what's behind it or what's going to help us get back to it, but I know parental involvement helped a lot in our situation. We have 2 daughters who are fluent in Spanish and French, and one of them is proficient in German. And one of them actually teaches French and Spanish in Boston. The other is in Spain teaching English right now after doing the same thing in France. But what got our girl started was when our youngest was 12, she wanted to go over to Austria to spend a couple of months with her aunt who married an Austrian and had a couple of little cousins there for her to help her. She was older. They were 2. She was 12. And we told her, you need to spend a year with a German tutor here, where we were living at the time in Oregon, before you do that. Because if you're going to go over there for 4 or 5 months, we want you to come back having learned some of the language. And we found a retired teacher, German war bride, actually, who scared our daughter to death. And after 3 weeks, my daughter said, I can't do this. She scares me. And I had to talk to the woman and say, you know, I'm sorry, it's not going to work out. And the woman just totally broke down. She so loved my daughter, we didn't realize it. She offered to do it for free. She offered to come to our house instead of going to their house.
Oh, goodness.
Homeschooled through 8th grade. And I couldn't say no to her. I said, we won't let you do it for free, but if you'll come to the house, okay. And she came to the house, and all of a sudden, my daughter felt safe. The woman understood she was a little too stern. My daughter, to this day, who's 30 years old, still calls her twice a month.
Oh, goodness.
So they live on both ends of the continent. She's been a third grandmother to my daughter.
It sounds like it was just a beautiful relationship that sprung out of language. Kathy?
You know, that is a beautiful story, and it highlights the importance, the role of parents. You know, I recently moderated a panel at the New York State Bilingual Fair on fostering and encouraging bilingualism in the home. And Glenn and his family have really done all of the perfect things to encourage that, and they've been successful. You know, one of the things that's important to remember is that foreign language teaching in our schools has changed. You know, a lot of the reasons for lack of proficiency and lack of fluency had to do with not staying in the target language in the classroom. And now, across the country, you know, foreign language classes are 90% in the target language. But in addition to that, and this is important, language is part of life. And so if you start a language in middle school and maybe you don't have an opportunity for continued study, and maybe you just have it 2 or 3 times a week for 40 minutes, it's hard to advance. But technology has been wonderful. There are all kinds of online opportunities to hear authentic speech, to hear native speakers, first language speakers, mother tongue speakers, and there are opportunities to travel. And if travel is not an option, there are opportunities to attend summer camps, summer immersion programs. Some of the most famous are really, Middlebury, Concordia, and many, many, many more. But I think that the importance really is making language part of your life.
Let's bring in another call now. Let's go to George in Monroe. George, hi.
Hi. I am a decent Spanish speaker. I have a 5-year-old granddaughter, and I have made it my mission to try to help her learn Spanish. And you said there's a lot of online resource, but I'm frankly pretty disgusted by what I find online. You can get stuff that tells people, you know, here's how you say the colors, or here's how you say hippopotamus and giraffe, and shows them pictures. But that's so unhelpful in terms of, and if you get cartoons or something that are made for Spanish-speaking kids, it's just, I mean, I can't understand it, let alone expect her to understand it. So I'd be interested in, you know, maybe off the air or something, but what are some of the resources that are sort of engaging and catchy, but are teaching kids, you know, how to say a sentence, not how to say a hippopotamus?
And certainly at that age level, Kathy, a five-year-old, where is the, you know, where are some of the resources?
You know, I think the first thing we have to realize is that language learning really has at least two stages. And one is the stage where children, even when they're learning their mother tongue, children are listening. You know, even if it's your first language as a child that you learn, little babies hear a lot of language. They don't necessarily produce perfect language and complete sentences until really several years later. And it's the same thing with the second language. You have to, the learner, the child, has to hear a certain amount of language. It's quality and quantity of language that will foster and encourage fluency. So in the case of Spanish, they would need to be hearing Spanish spoken on a variety of topics, and then they would need to hear a lot of Spanish being spoken. Now, there are, without naming any products on the air, there are actually products that are, you download children's stories, for example, from the cloud. And when you've exhausted that that particular group of stories, you download more. And so the child does not get bored, but yet if the parent or the grandparent or the family member cannot be with the child all the time speaking in the target language, there are many tools of technology that will help, even from the littlest ages. But it is important to remember that it's unrealistic to expect a language learner, let's just say a five-year-old child, to immediately start to speak. Because think of that process when, as a baby, you're learning your mother tongue. You don't immediately launch into speech.
Let's squeeze in one more call here. Georgiana in Milwaukee. Hi, Georgiana.
Good morning.
What's on your mind?
I am a kindergarten teacher at the Milwaukee German Immersion School, and I just want to give a shout-out to Milwaukee Public Schools because we have immersion programs here that are free of charge and that families can attend, and their children start in K-4, and they go up to fifth grade, and they're leaving speaking fluent French, German, Spanish, Italian.
Georgiana, do you see that immersion schools are very healthy and robust?
Healthy, robust. I think there needs to be a lot more information out there to the public that we exist, so more people enroll and are a part of this program.
Georgiana, thanks for calling in. Kathy, immersion schools, public schools, they exist.
Oh, absolutely. And thank you, Georgiana, for the work that you and your colleagues do. I think this is a big part of the turnaround in foreign language education. If we look to Canada, we can see really 50-plus years of immersion learning and really the support of the official bilingualism of Canada, but then translating it into our own U.S. setting. For example, you have immersion programs in New York City, my area of the country, in at least a dozen languages. You have, in Georgia, you've got large numbers of immersion programs. And so on and so forth, really, across the country. The latest figures, official figures, were in the 400s. Newspaper articles that I've seen are saying there are maybe 1,500 immersion programs in the country. And it's a wonderful way to foster bilingualism in a new language and also to support heritage language learners and communities. And heritage language, you have to realize, it's not necessarily the language that you speak in the home. I mean, it can be. Over 60 million Americans speak a language other than English in the home. But it can also be a semi-forgotten heritage language. A family maybe has been here for several generations, and typically people, well, it might have a few words, might have varying levels of knowledge of that heritage language. These immersion programs can also strengthen these communities, and people can rediscover their heritage languages.
And Kathy, we're almost out of time here, but are you optimistic that this will turn around?
I am absolutely optimistic. I think what we're seeing in the elementary schools, whether it's traditional foreign language instruction or immersion, I think that is the beginning of the resurgence of foreign language skills in the United States. What's important for us is to make sure all of our children have that opportunity.
Well, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for giving me this opportunity, and best wishes to you in the important work that you do.
Kathleen Stein-Smith is an associate university librarian at Fairleigh Dickinson University in New Jersey, and she's taught foreign languages at the high school and college level, written several books on the U.S. foreign language deficit. Her recent piece for the website The Conversation is titled Foreign Language Classes Becoming More Scarce. Coming up, the American Civil Liberties Union is starting an effort to reduce the prison population in Wisconsin. It's called Smart Justice, and we'll hear about it after the news. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're with us on The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.